So it's our great pleasure to announce the next talk, which in fact won the best paper award for NIPS. This is really an achievement. We had like 2,500 submissions, and now there is our best paper award. The paper is called Value Iteration Networks, and it's been written by Avi Tamar, Yi Wu, Garrett Thomas, Sergi Levine, and Peter Abiel. Let's congratulate the award winners. One more.
Thank you for this honor. I'll present our work on Value Iteration Networks, which was done with Yi Wu, Garrett Thomas, Sergey Levin, and Peter Abiel. So the motivation for this work and the general goal in our lab is to build autonomous robots. Our dream is that we can tell the robot, hey, go bring me some milk from the fridge, and it will go see something like this, and understand that it needs to move some apples and get the bottle from the back. Now, this is challenging because the fridge looks different every day, which requires some generalization. And while everyone here does this every morning, for robots, it's quite hard. But I think that many of us believe that reinforcement learning could get us there. And the reason is that in recent years, we've seen many successes of deep reinforcement learning, learning complex decision-making from raw visual input. For example, playing Atari, robot manipulation, and many, many more. One perhaps surprising fact about many of these works is that the neural networks that were used are very similar to neural networks for image classification, consisting of a few convolute layers and a few fully connected ones. We call these networks reactive in the sense that they select actions directly based on image features. So we know that such networks are powerful and expressive and can solve complicated tasks. But can they understand? So, well, what does it mean to understand? That's a hard philosophical question. Not going to answer that. But let me tell you about an experiment that we did. A very simple experiment in a domain called the grid world. The objective here is to move this red agent through some obstacles to this green goal position. And this is super easy, because we actually let the agent see everything. It sees the map, it sees the goal, it sees its position. And we train such a reactive policy to solve this task, and obviously it succeeded. Well, this is much, much easier than playing Atari. But here's the thing. We then trained one policy to solve multiple instances of this task with different goal positions and obstacles, randomly chosen obstacles. Now we expect that if the policy learns anything about these tasks, it should be able to solve an unseen map that it hasn't seen before. Going back to the refrigerator example, this is a generalization we expect from understanding what the task is here. For us humans, it only requires a glance. But for these reactive networks, well, they didn't do so well. They were perfectly good on the training domains, didn't solve the test ones. So why don't reactive policies generalize? These tasks require sequential decision making, and in general requires a planning computation to solve. But in reinforcement learning, we actually get around that. What we learn is a policy. It's a mapping from states to good actions. How are these good actions obtained? Well, that depends on the algorithm, but in general involves some implicit planning on the training domains. So for example, in Q-learning, Q function represents the long-term consequences of an action. If we're doing imitation learning, then an expert does the planning and tells us what are the good actions we should imitate. The point is that the learning that takes place is in this error, the mapping from states to good actions on the training domain. This is what we expect to generalize, and it does. But now what happens when we see a new task? Then we need a new plan. But we never learn how to plan. And it might be that our networks, which are perfectly capable of representing good policies on the training domains, don't have the capacity to perform this planning computation. And this work will propose a network that has this capacity, and we'll show that it indeed generalizes better. So let me describe our model. We want a network that can perform planning. So we'll start with what we know, how to design a reactive policy. And we'll add to it a neural network model that looks at the observation, does some planning, and passes the plan along to the reactive policy as additional input. So now the questions are, well, what do we need in order to plan? How do we actually plan? How can we use the plan in the reactive policy? And finally, how can we learn all of this together? So let me first describe the planning. Classical planning algorithm is value iteration. The idea in value iteration is to calculate something called a value function. Value function is a mapping from states to the long-term value. For example, in path planning, this could represent the shortest distance from a state to the goal. But more generally, we talk about maximizing a sum of future rewards from a state. This is a very general formulation. It has applications from agriculture to cloud computing. The nice thing about a value function is that once you've computed it, you can use it with a reactive policy. Simply choose actions that maximize the value. This is cool because eventually we'll want to use our plan with a reactive policy. So how can we calculate the value function? Well, value iteration does this iteratively. At each iteration, we go over all our states. Then we go over all our actions and calculate the reward that we get for that action plus what we think is the value of the state that we reach after taking the action. Then we max over the actions and update our value. So for example, in this grid world, we look at each state, calculate the distance to the neighbor, plus what we think is the distance from that neighbor to the goal. More generally, if we have stochastic transitions, we'll have to multiply the value with the probability of getting there. Here it is shown for a few actions. And now, this drawing might look familiar to some of you. It's quite similar to how we draw a convolutional neural network. And the reason is that mathematically, actually, value iteration is very similar to a ConvNet. It's easiest to see this for this 2D planning. Here, this expectation is just a convolution of our current value estimate and reward with the transition probabilities. This leads to something like a channel for each action in our system. This max operation is very similar to max pooling, only we don't max pool in a spatial direction, we max pool along these action channels. This results in our next value function estimate. And we repeat this iteratively, each time feeding back our newly computed value function, which results in a deep ConvNet. It also has shared weights because these transition probabilities are the same every time. Now, the depth of this network corresponds to the number of iterations we take in value iteration. This analogy is clearest in the 2D domain, but it's actually general because what we have in the expectation is a linear operation that we apply to each state, and then we take a max, which is like a convolution and max pooling. Now, this observation that value iteration planning can be represented by a neural network will be the key in our approach. So now let's take this and go back and design a network that can plan. We call this a value iteration network, or in short, VIN. So first of all, we understand that in order to define a planning computation, all we need are rewards and transitions. So we'll extract that from the observation using a ConvNet or some other neural network. Now, for the planning itself, we'll just do value iteration implemented in this recurrent neural network. And then we understand that the value is all we need for the reactive policy to plan, to execute. So we can just pass that along. Actually, we do a little bit better here. We exploit the fact that typically you only need the values of neighboring states, which is like a form of attention. But the important thing is, since all of these components are simple neural network components, we can easily backprop through the whole thing. Now, it's important to understand what we will be learning here. We'll be learning the parameters of a planning computation, the rewards and transitions that make a useful plan for the reactive policy. So let's see how this works. We'll start with the grid world domain we've seen before. Here we used supervised learning, basically imitation learning, from the shortest path. So our data consists of these pairs of random maps and the shortest path to the goal, the direction of the shortest path to the goal. And we compared VINs with standard architectures that were implemented in state of the art results. And this, since this is a supervised learning problem, we can measure the prediction error on a test set. And when we do that, we plot it here for different map sizes. All of these networks seem comparable. The error increases as the map size increases. But actually, what we care about is not a single action prediction error, but how well our policy predicts a short pass to the goal without hitting the obstacles. Here we see that once the map sizes get larger, these reactive policies perform pretty poorly. The reason is that what they actually learn is to memorize the good trajectories. This can work for small maps, but doesn't scale up. VINs, on the other hand, learn the underlying planning computation, which scales up much better. Here's an example of the trajectory that our network predicts in red compared to the actual shortest pass in blue, and you see it's a short pass around obstacles to the goal. But the really cool thing about VINs is that they're just neural networks. So we can easily compose them with other neural network components, for example, for perception and control. For example, instead of having these artificial grid world maps, we can look at natural image terrain. Here we used it to do path planning on a terrain of Mars between these craters. The only thing we needed to change is to just to add a few more convent layers in our image processing part of the network. And you can see the results in the purple trajectory here is a safe trajectory around the obstacles that this network predicted. In another experiment, we considered a continuous control domain. The task here is to control this red particle, which has mass and inertia between the obstacles, and stop it at the goal. The question, though, is how can we apply value iteration, which is a discrete planning algorithm, to a continuous control domain with continuous states and actions? Our idea was to let the network figure it out by itself. We used the same grid world architecture from before and fed in as observation a low resolution image of this map. The idea is that while this grid world is not sufficient for solving the task, it has a completely different state and action spaces, a high level plan on this grid world could be useful for the reactive policy to merge it with the actual states and velocities. So for example, it could plan a rough trajectory to the goal and have the reactive policy track it. We trained these networks using model-based RL, and we compared it to convnets, which were used in the literature to solve continuous tasks, which were trained using the same algorithm. So here we show in blue is a trajectory that the VIN produced compared to the baseline in red. And you see that it does much better. This is a test domain that wasn't seen during training. Here's how it looks in practice. This is one policy that takes as observation a low resolution image of this map. And here it's being executed on test domains that it hasn't seen during training. It's not perfect, but clearly generalizes. Let me also say that the VIN framework is quite general. For example, we've applied it to a task of navigating web pages using planning on a graph. And we've also experimented with hierarchically composing VINs by taking the value function of one VIN as an additional reward channel to another. To summarize, the take-home message is that by learning to plan, we can get better generalization into sequential tasks. We've suggested a network architecture that can do this by relating its structure to the value iteration planning algorithm. Our model is flexible and can be used to solve interesting problems. But it also requires some engineering. We need to hand design the state and action spaces, for example. So how flexible is this? Sorry. Well, I like to measure it by the amount of inductive bias we add to the network. For example, we have, on one hand, model-free RL with general black box neural networks, which assumes no knowledge about the underlying problem. On the other hand, we have model-based RL, which tries to learn the actual reward and transition in the task. Somewhere in the middle is inverse RL, which only learns the reward. Value iteration networks learn rewards and transitions that aren't necessarily the true rewards and transitions, but make a useful plan for the reactive policy. In this sense, it also makes sense to compare our networks with other approaches for algorithm learning. Here, the most general are neural Turing machines that can learn any algorithm. More recently, divide and conquer neural networks learn dynamic programming. VINs exploit the fact that we know that a planning computation is useful here. So we inject that explicitly into the network architecture. Very related is the backprop Kalman filter work also here at NIPS, which does the same thing, but with a Kalman filter computation for state estimation. In the future, well, I'm mostly interested in applying these ideas to robotics. I'll show some preliminary results in the workshops on Friday, but in the future, I'd like to apply this to more general task and motion planning. Thank you for listening.
We have time for questions.
Question. So you don't learn the correct reward function or the correct transition model, right? So does that give you trouble and limit how far you can transfer? What's the advantage of learning the wrong model, in other words?
So the advantage is, for example, in the continuous domain, the model can be quite complicated. It needs to involve, for example, the physical properties of the objects, friction, and other things. What we learn is an abstract, approximate model that is still useful for planning.
Thank you.
I have a question here. Great talk. I'm just wondering, how long do you iterate the value iteration for? Do you iterate it to a fixed point or for a fixed number of steps? And also, what's the kind of error signal that you train that portion of the network on?
So that's a good question. So in this analogy between value iteration and a convnet, we understand what is the depth of the network that we need to build. This would be the number of value iterations. So for example, in these grid walls, we know that we need at least number of iterations corresponding to the size of the grid in order to convey information from one point to another. So that gave us some clue on how to select the number of occurrences.
Hi, I have two questions here.
Where is it?
Here.
Oh, right.
So in your planning, you're doing k time steps, so it's actually like your network is very deep. So when you compare to a traditional RL algorithm, do you take into account in the architecture that the network has to be deeper?
So we did a comparison that we untied the weights in our value iteration network, which makes this just a large and deep convnet. And that gave worse results. So that had exactly the same depth as our VINs, but without tying the weights, not incorporating our prior knowledge about how value iteration works.
And another question is that the transition probability kernels are like independent of the state. So does it even help in your planning?
So I can show you, for example, that's an interesting question. So in this case of the grid world, what the network learned is to shape the reward such that state-independent transitions are sufficient. So it learned to give high reward at the goal, low reward for hitting obstacles, and a slightly negative reward all around the free space. In this case, this, even with state-independent transitions, still produces a good plan. But in general, you can think of transitions that do depend on the state. It just means modifying the neural network. There is no reason not to do this. And we actually did something similar in our experiment with planning on a graph. There, the transitions were different from state to state.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hang on. I think I wanted to stop the questions now. People already want to have a coffee break. Please take other questions offline. I would like to thank all the speakers of this session again. And after...